Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Lindsay. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello.
I don't know. Did everybody have a good weekend?
Yeah.
Everybody had to think about it. Mine was really relaxed. We went to Costco yesterday. Had to load up on breakfast foods because, you know, gotta have breakfast foods.
Muffins.
Sydney got some of the pumpkin muffins. I'm not a fan. There's too much friggin' nutmeg and pumpkin allspice shit in them.
But you like the donuts.
I do like the donuts.
Does your Costco do alcohol?
No, because we're Ohio. We're silly like that. You have to go to the Ohio liquor store. I think one of the Costco's in Columbus is also an Ohio liquor store. But, yeah, we have to go to a special store for it.
We have wine. That's it.
Yeah, they do have wine and beer. So Sydney was complaining. She doesn't like the new muffins.
My kids don't either. Yeah.
Do they taste different?
I don't eat them.
Or is it just
gluten-free?
Oh, because they're, yeah.
But, they're smaller.
They're not giant. That's the only difference I can see.
Like, it doesn't feed five people at once.
Although I did like them when they were bigger because it felt like you were eating like you get the blueberry one. It was like a loaf, like blueberry loaf. But I didn't have to buy the whole big giant loaf kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jen Ellen says they're smaller and the ratio is off to me. Apparently nobody likes the new muffins.
They messed up the recipe when they made them smaller.
Yeah.
I mean, baking is a science.
It is a
science. My husband likes to tell me.
Well, and I struggle with pumpkin. So are any of you guys like pumpkin spice latte people?
Mm-hmm. I'll usually like have one. Just to like get that going. I do like pumpkin bread though.
Like pumpkin bread. I like pumpkin rolls, but I like them when I make them or pumpkin bars. I love a good pumpkin bar, but I don't mind cinnamon. I really struggle with nutmeg and allspice.
I like there's this pumpkin cinnamon roll recipe that I really like.
Yeah.
But I don't have a stand mixer. I need a friend with a stand mixer to make it better.
Yeah. I tried 1 year at Christmas to make a bouche de Noël, the chocolate roll. Nope. No. It looked like chocolate crumbs on top of like a white mess of frosting. It was so terrible.
I'll usually only get it like out though. If I think about it, Jeremy doesn't really like make pumpkin stuff, and it's not because we don't like it. It's just not something he makes. And I don't really like pumpkin pie. It's really just bread.
Just bread.
Or a muffin, maybe.
Do you know? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, do you know what fall thing I have absolutely lost my mind about this year though?
What is that?
Cookie butter.
Well, that's not fall.
And he does that at our house all the time.
We have Dutch Brothers here, and like when we were in Arizona, Dutch Brothers is the option or Starbucks for coffee, and we didn't have like a coffee machine, so I was doing like Dutch Brothers runs every day and getting like four of these drinks, and like everybody, I was just gonna get like a cold brew and I was gonna be very basic, but then I was like, okay, two guys and a girl are all getting variations of this cookie butter thing, and I was like, I'm gonna get cookie butter cold foam on top of my cold brew for fun, and I lost it. And then Chobani came out with cookie butter creamer like 2 weeks ago here, and I was like, oh, I must get this. And I have the little frother wand thing, and I got like heavy cream, and I've been like one for one with the heavy cream and making cold, like really thick, dense, like it's cold foam, but it's also like just a little smidge below the density of whipped cream, and I've been putting that on my coffee because, you know, why not?
Why not? You only live once. What were you going to say, Jenny?
Oh, so we carved pumpkins today, and my kid he said that he's gonna make everything pumpkin. So he took all the guts, he made pumpkin pie, pumpkin loaf, pumpkin cookies, and all the seeds.
Yum.
Oh, I love to do the seeds, like roast the seeds.
Do you put a little bit? I put a little bit of red pepper on mine. Salt,
He did
pepper,
like
red
do like
pepper.
four, because it was all him. I was like, I'm not doing this. So he did like four different flavors. Well, they said the pie was good. I don't know. It looked a little.
Sketch. Our trick or treat was last night here in town.
Wait, what?
Yeah, our trick or treat was last night.
They schedule trick or treat?
Yeah, it's Findlay. It's Ohio. We schedule trick or treat. Which it's fine. It has to do with you can't do it on Friday night because it's still football Fridays for the high school kids, so you can't do it on Friday night this year. And then Saturday is the first, and it's All Saints Day, and the religious people get a little wacky, whatever. So trick or treat was last night, and the costumes were so cute. But there was a little girl that came up. Sydney said, "We have this giant blow up dragon in our front yard," and she's like, "Oh, Mr. Dragon, don't bite me!" And then she goes over and pets our Scooby-Doo. It's like
Oh.
in a pumpkin. I'm like, oh, I like little kids, as long as they don't live here. Stacy says she also a pumpkin spice girly, or cinnamon apple or holiday spice things this time of year. Bonnie's a total pumpkin spice girl.
I like apple cinnamon. That's probably, if I had to pick between the two, I'd probably
Yeah.
lean for a drink anyway. I lean more apple cinnamon.
I love hot apple cider. Throw a little whiskey or bourbon in
That's
there.
how, yeah, that's how Jeremy got me.
That's how he got you. Spiked apple
I
cider.
know it wasn't
A hot
spiked.
toddy.
I was still underage.
He made you some apple cider and.
No, he put butter in it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Never had butter in hot apple cider. I've had
Tasty.
bourbon.
You can do both.
Yes, you can.
I had no idea. Okay. But this actually sets the vibe for this episode, right? This
It does.
discussion of fall and all things like warm and cozy. Because on this episode of Buzzing About Romance, we're diving into the softer side of the supernatural. What exactly makes a paranormal romance cozy from witchy small towns with potion brewing heroines or cinnamon scented monster romances, low stakes sci-fi love stories? We're defining cozy corner of the paranormal world. We'll talk reader expectations, why these stories feel like autumn in a book form, and how spooky but swoony has become the perfect vibe for readers craving magic, mystery, and heart-melting romances without the nightmare fuel. So kind of what we're going to do is we'll probably give some creepy book recs also, but we want to kind of dive into that spectrum of cozy to creepy because we are seeing this word cozy thrown in front of everything now, right? Like
Yeah.
I saw over the weekend that Pumpkin Spice Cafe book. Cozy small town. What does that mean? Aren't all small town romances co like why did cozy started? So the way that cozy started is it was kind of that cottage core fantasy vibe without being, like without feeling like you were getting into the full like fantasy realm.
Yeah, that
So,
makes sense.
okay. So let's define cozy romance. I wrote a definition. Does anyone want to read it?
I can do it.
Go for it.
All right. Cozy romance is a vibe-forward subcategory focused on warmth, comfort, emotional safety, and low-stress storytelling. The stakes may be personal, but they're never bleak. You read a cozy because you want to exhale, not brace yourself. The emphasis is on connection, community, and comfort with stories that leave you feeling hopeful, soothed, and charmed. Even when there's conflict, the tone remains gentle, reassuring, and ultimately kind.
So, cozy does not mean low spice, though. Always. It doesn't always mean that.
Yeah.
Because cozy gets put in front of Morning Glory Milking Farm by C.M. Nacosta, and even in front of Ice Planet Barbarians by Ruby Dixon. None of those are low spice.
Is that
So
because there's
something
not a
that
lot of
gives you a warm,
conflict?
fun feeling.
It is a warm, fun feeling.
Okay, I have not read Eyes Planet Barbarians, but so I'm guessing it's similar to the one we read for the Scared Sexy collection.
Is. They're
Okay.
typically there's not a whole lot of there's not a whole lot of world building. It infers a lot of things. The angst is lower, and I
Okay.
think that that's kind of what Cozy has become. Like, we recently did Omegaverse, where we talked about we got to talk to Catherine Moon about her idea of Omegaverse and that it's a trope.
Yeah.
Her Lola in the Millionaires is angsty. There is stakes. There's high emotion. There's some gasping kind of moments.
Yeah.
Versus if you read the Omegaverse from Eri Wright or Pact for Winter, which is another Omegaverse, they're classified as cozy. They're simpler. There's not a lot of angst. It doesn't have any dark underlying tones to it.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, associating cozy with angst.
So I think more than anything, cozy is being used as kind of a safety word to say low angst, low stakes, low entry.
Okay, vibes only.
Vibes only.
Not necessarily, though. I mean, we've read some that are definitely like heartwarming, I guess,
Yeah.
and have some emotion.
That's
So cozy is not going.
interesting.
It's what, Jenny?
It's interesting because, like, I thought of it kind of as like, because fairy tales seem to be, like, they're comfort reads for a lot of people, but they are not cozy.
No,
No.
not at all. So cozy is not going to have high angst, no dark romance undertones, no trauma-heavy backstories, no gritty realism, no adrenaline plots, which so serial killers, cartels, and kidnappings, except we know that Bryn Weaver, hers was called, this cozy horror rom-com. Same with Nevessa Allen's Lights Out. They have had cozy put in front of them.
Really? I did not know that. Okay.
But they're more, I think it's because people are mistaking rom-com comedy for cozy.
Oh, yeah. But, I think that falls, that can be a subcategory under cozy, not,
Yeah.
I think when you said that cozy kind of equals low angst, like that makes a lot of sense to me. And then it can or can't, it doesn't necessarily have to be a rom-com or not, but like I get the association with the low angst, but the rom-com doesn't define
It
it.
doesn't at all. No.
I think
Go ahead.
I like on that point, I think a lot of them got marketed as like rom-com paranormals, like after the Juliet Cross Stayaspell series came out. But I would not really classify any of them as like true rom-com. Like there was like the first one in that series was rom-com and it did really well, but a lot of them were more cozy.
Than
And a
rom-com.
lot of like the really popular, like witchy paranormal ones that you see out, and like a lot of them are just like more in the cozy realm for me versus like rom-com. But I think a lot of them got marketed as a rom-com first, and then like you read them, and it's like, I mean, structurally, sure, but like
It wasn't
there's
funny.
not a ton of comedy. Like, I'm not laughing out loud. I'm not gonna pee my pants because it was so damn funny. Like, there's not, I feel like rom-com is getting used a lot where it's not applicable.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I do agree with that. I think that some things get the rom-com label, and it's not. It's just contemporary romance.
Yeah.
There's nothing funny in that book. There's, and you'll hear you blah blah blah. You'll hear people say, but you have to balance the comedy with the romantic through line. Not in a rom-com, you don't.
No.
Like, it.
And like funny things happen in my life, but my life hopefully is not a comedy. Like,
I mean,
I could have
maybe
fun, funny moments without.
yeah. I don't know. I could see it being like a tragic comedy currently.
Your life.
Like, there's funny moments, but it's mostly a lot of sad.
And that's a whole different genre.
Right.
Yeah.
Also in Cozy, we will not see toxic push and pull of relationships and likely no power dynamics.
Okay, so I have a question, because like I put my list is very bare because life has been crazy. But I read The Cuddle Clause by Roxy Ray a couple weeks ago. It was my book of the week when I did. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I did Creepy Pair of Underwear. That's a cozy.
Yes. Creepy Pair of Underwear is cozy.
But so like I would, as you were speaking, I like their relationship seems to be cozy, but I'm not sure like the external factors keep it being cozy. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, and that's,
I would classify it as cozy.
You would classify it as cozy?
Yeah, I read that one, and I would like, I think a lot of what Roxy Ray does would be classified as cozy.
Yeah,
there is like mild, very mild emotional angst in response to like external factors and like some insecurities, but like very firmly in the cozy realm.
Yeah, I think, and I think that this is like many things, cozy's going to be left up to interpretation, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you have behind you the time I got drunk and saved a demon. That's cozy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's cozy monsters. It's cozy mysticalness, but it deals with some larger issues that are underlying.
Yeah, right. It doesn't delve too deep.
No, nothing is deep in that one. True.
Yeah. And she's fighting a lot of beings.
Yeah. So would you classify the Shelley Laurenston Honey Badger series as cozy?
No.
Only because
I think the violence is more prevalent in that. I think it's too violent to be considered a cozy. I think the humor leans into cozy a little bit.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't classify it as cozy. I think that's firmly paranormal. Paranormal rom-com maybe if you want, but
yeah. I just thought it was interesting. So that brings up, how far can a story lean into the PNR or the monster, you know, into the world conquering stuff, demons that we had with Save a Demon? How far can it lean in before it stops being cozy? So like, you know, the Honey Badgers, you feel like it goes a little too much because of the violent, the fighting, the fighting.
Like, I mean, it's pretty graphic in the fight scenes. I mean, there's guns, there's, you know, and while it doesn't delve too hard into like the romance or like a ton of their deep, deep feelings, but I mean, they have some larger issues. I mean, they have, you know, some,
no,
I don't know. For me, I don't know. It's just kind of like, I was like, no, I wouldn't. I mean,
see, and I would say Ice Planet Barbarians is absolutely on that cozy line. It does deal with a little bit of like some power shifting and stuff because of, you know, the fated mate, the breeding, yeah, you know, purposes and stuff. But I definitely would say it's cozier than the Anna Hackett aliens or that Zoe Draven sci-fi one that we wrote.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Anna Hackett's firmly in like suspense aliens, yeah. I think. But yeah, I mean, I guess, like you said, it's going to be probably subjective for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that the demon one leaned cozier for me. Like that was definitely the demon hunter, the Aurora Asher
one.
Oh
yeah.
Definitely leaned cozier.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
I think it's like right there though. I mean, I think depending on how you read it, and I don't know, and I didn't read any of the rest of the series, but how deeply they go into like fight scenes or anything like that. Like that one's pretty cozy to me.
I would say that one is cozy. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah,
the whole series is like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had that whole series as a cozy.
That is it, April, the witch ones that you read.
April Asher, those are cozy too. They're all cozy.
I would say those are cozy.
I think there's a vampire one, a demon, and a werewolf. Can't remember for sure, but all of those were cozy. Like almost all of the really popular, like witchy romances,
Yeah.
the Lana Harper and the Lindsay Hall and what
Well,
is her
that
name? The one who
secret
does like the
society.
regular witches.
Yep.
Yeah, the Secret
Yeah.
Society of Regular
Sangu
Witches. Like all of those
Mandana.
are fairy.
I think it's
Lindsay
Sang.
Hall also writes like she has an like she writes like both. She has like her cozy and then she also writes like a grittier paranormal. So she does both, which
Yeah.
is interesting because I've never actually read her cozy. I've read her other.
Yeah.
And then you like earlier you'd brought up an interesting point like with the Omegaverse book. Like I find that like if you're gonna get cozy paranormal werewolves or like wolf situations or like I guess Omegaverse is more like traits, not necessarily the shifting. But like I find those to be more firmly in like the coat like more of those tend to be cozy, which I don't think you would necessarily think of them that way.
Yeah.
But I definitely think they more tend to lean cozy versus, you know.
So I kind of did my line. Like, if we think of Ashley Bennett's, like, Muscles and Monsters that she wrote, that series, to, so that's the coziest of monsters, or the Honey Phillips monsters. Those are pretty, pretty cozy. And then on the more extreme side, like, the very spooky side of monsters are going to be like, Opal Rain, Katie Robert, Lillian Lark, Janika Snow. Like, those are
Yeah.
dark. So, and it's like everything. It's a spectrum.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
none of us are gonna be able to have the same exact vibe on the spectrum of cozy. But the concept of co just adding the word cozy is supposed to make it like safe to read almost.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think of comfortable,
Yeah.
and yeah, what's comfortable for me is not the same as it is for anyone else.
Yeah, I was putting my list together and I have only read Cozy Paranormal if I had to read it for the podcast, an ARC, or someone on the podcast asked me to read it. I have not actually sought out any kind of Cozy Paranormal on my own. So.
See, I can easily read the cozy. Like, I would even say, like, Unhinged by Vera Valentine is cozy. I mean, there's a romantic subplot to it, you know, but it's
I mean, I
cozy.
even thought of the vacuum for a second, and then I was like, no, no one needs to read that.
No one should read that. I actually tend to like the cozier. I think for me, I see cozy and I think easy entry.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
it's not that I don't like it. It's just I, when I'm picking up a paranormal, that is not where my brain goes. Like, that's not what I'm looking for.
Did you read Bride by Allie Hazelwood?
No.
Oh, you did,
Not yet.
Lindsay.
I've read that one, yes. I will eventually read Mate when the library hold isn't a million weeks long. It's
Would you classify that
like,
as cozy?
I mean, it's got a little bit higher stakes. There's a little more world building, but I thought, yeah, cozy.
Cozy.
It's just not like, it's not super complicated. It's not like there's conflict, but there's not like a crazy amount of violence. There's not, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I mean, I wouldn't classify it as vibes either. Like there's definitely substance to it, but
So maybe just in the middle of it.
I guess it was slow. It was long.
I have heard that, and people hate the best friend, and that's the book that's the next one. And
I mean, the best friend was such a tertiary character. I don't even remember.
Lindsay's like
I mean, I
so
know they were
unamused by
kidnapped.
them.
Like, sorry if I'm spoiling it. They were like kidnapped for like 75% of the book or something. But they were like such a tertiary character. They were not memorable at all.
Okay. There you go.
They were a part of the conflict resolution, like a critical part of the conflict resolution, but like it was, I don't know, it was fine.
Okay.
See how it goes the next book.
Okay, so if I say, Amanda, we're picking up a cozy romance, what book? So let's talk about our list a little bit. Let's talk
Okay.
about what you have read that's cozy. Would you put Fan Service, that's our Wednesday book, up as cozy?
I think it's like on that line.
It's on that line.
Yeah, I think it straddles that line for me because it has like cozy feelings because he's not really, you don't get too deep into the werewolf world. Like
Yeah.
there's not a whole lot going on there, other than it's just like something that happened to him. There's no like others. It's just him. And I think it gets deeper into kind of like social issues and things like that with her. So I think like you could interpret it as cozy for the paranormal aspect, but I think it's a little deeper
Okay.
on like some other aspects. So it's like I would say like right on the line for me.
Right on the line for you. Okay, if so, I'm telling you, pick me up a cozy read. What are you
Okay.
reading?
Okay. So I think Good Spirits by BK Borison is leans into the cozy. It is also right there on the line, but you're getting those cozy holiday vibes. He's a the ghost of Christmas past, but you're not getting any kind of scary ghost situation really. There's like some time travel. There are big emotions. There are definitely things happening. Again, I think it sits on that line for me, but Harriet and Nolan are like I love them. It's probably like a little more emotional, but like if I'm gonna pick something in that vein, it's probably like right there.
Okay. What about you, Jenny? If I say, okay, give me a cozy book, what are you reading?
The Wild Oaks, well, is that, yeah, Wild Oaks series by January Bell with the
Faye.
fae and all these creatures kind of come into their little small town of witches and yeah, they're very cute.
Okay. What about you, Lindsay?
I haven't read this yet, but I came across it in my research. It's by Ashley Bennett, and it's the Leviathan Fitness series. And
Oh,
it looks like, have you guys read that?
I did.
Becky has.
I did. The audios are
It screams
phenomenal.
because they're not good.
No, they're
The
phenomenal.
Oh, they are? Okay, yeah. Because I was like looking at these and I was like, why haven't I read these before? It's also a complete series, and I'm like, this sounds so cute, especially the second one, Tentacles and Triathlons. And I was like, I'm gonna read these are very high on my TBR list after discovering them, but they screamed like perfect cozy fall read.
Merritt read them and was all for them. She loves them. But there's also the Warts and Claws Inc. by Cleo Evans that's in that same vein. That's it's an office.
Is that the Krampus? Is that the one that has the Krampus or no?
That doesn't,
Oh,
no,
okay.
it has a succubus, like,
Okay.
and lots of queer undertones and different kinds of monsters mating, tails, weird tongues, you know, it's a good vibe.
Interesting flavors.
Yeah. Flavor is the spice of life. What
A
else are
full
you
sensory experience.
what else are you reading, Amanda?
And I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but The Late Night Witches by R.L.E. Wallace. There's really not any romance in the first book, but it's two sisters. It's very kind of cozier practical magic vibes because practical magic is kind of a little dark, but everybody's kind of like using that as a term to talk about cozy romances. But it's two sisters who are witches. And the one sister who's not really the main character, but she's like dating a vampire who's like decaying. And like, so they have to like keep trying to put him back together in this basement. And it's pretty hilarious, but it also like, they also deal with like the other main characters, like her husband's like away working with Doctors Without Borders. And we're pretty sure he's, cheating and like all this other stuff. So she meets a new neighbor. And I think I'm hoping like in the next book, they're going to get together, but it's very low romance in the first book, but it's very cozy.
Yeah. What are you reading, Jenny?
So I found this one today. It's called Cinnamon Rolls and Villainy, by Chatel A. Campbell. So he is a kind-hearted baker, and she's the villain that like has him serving her.
Oh.
It's labeled as a friends to lovers, but he is a complete cinnamon roll.
Okay.
So I'm intrigued.
Okay, that
'Cause I
sounds good.
don't feel like a cinnamon roll hero can be non-cozy.
Well, this is true. A lot of
Yeah.
cinnamon rolls would be a cozy hero.
Yeah.
What about you, Lindsay? What do you got?
I have another book that I haven't read yet, but I've read other books by Ersa Dax. I have not read Chimera for Christmas, but I really want to read that because also cozy and monster. And then, the way I've been moving through my TBR, it's going to be the next holiday season before I get through everything.
Fair, fair. I love Ersa Dax. Her alien cowboys are fantastic.
Yeah, she does the orcs. I think I read her orc one.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah, she writes really cute books.
So I think that author Honey Phillips is like the perfect example of cozy. She has cozy monsters, cozy sci-fi. I have read seven of her eight books in her Fairhaven Falls series. It starts with Cupcakes for My Orc Enemy, Trouble for My Troll, Fireworks for My Dragon Boss. My I'm excited. I read it. It was called Gifts for My Ghost by Honey Phillips. And she has a new one coming out in time for, like, I think it's this week actually. Healed by My Hide. Oh no, it's not till November 6th. So it's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde
Nice.
retelling. So totally recommend Honey Phillips if you are looking for that cozy vibe. And I would also say Merritt. She has her summoning, a demon, hell for hellfire. She tends to be on the cozier side. Her aliens are
Yeah.
probably a little more
Aliens,
intense.
yeah, the
Yeah, you've got a
demons, yeah.
little. But her demons are pretty cozy.
Yeah, I would agree.
What do you got now, Miss Amanda?
Again, not really romance, but I would say The Legends and Lattes by Travis Baldry.
Oh yeah,
That's
absolutely.
very cozy. The second one's coming out soon, right? I think, or
I
is it
think
already
it's
out?
out, but
Is it out? Okay.
it's actually Legends and Lattes that kind of started
Yeah.
the push of the idea of cozy.
Yeah, so I was trying to think of ones I've read, and I've read that one, so.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it has, it's popular for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it wasn't like the most amazing thing I had ever read, but it definitely it's like that warm feeling. Like, nothing is really too high stakes. They're making coffee, like building a coffee shop. Like it's all very, I don't know, it's all very cozy.
Yeah.
So.
What do you got, Jenny?
I'm not gonna sell this very well, but I stopped reading it because it was too cozy. An
Okay.
Excellent Chance to Fall in Love by Anne Rose. It's sapphic. She's the one stuck in the like spirit Halloween type store. I think it's called.
Oh,
I
yeah.
forget what it's called. And so her love interest actually has her old job, but part of the like curse is like no one in town remembers her.
Okay.
But it was super cozy, and it was too cozy.
That is fair. That's fair. What do you got,
It's
Lit?
very small town kish, like yeah.
But just not a lot happening. What do you got, Lindsay?
Well, we kind of covered everything.
Okay.
We covered almost everything I'd put on my list. I put a bunch of series.
Well, I don't think that, so especially like the cozy monsters, I think we probably read it in the time period like right now.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily something we're picking up every month, every season. I also think because they're vibes, I think a lot of us tend to use them as palate cleansers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have this problem where I read a ton of these last year, right? Last year at Halloween, I read probably like 20 plus
Yeah.
of them, like all the witchy, cute ones. And like a lot of them just blur together. Like some of them really stand out.
Yeah.
Others just kind of were like, this was a good read. It was worth, investing time and entertainment, but like I'm not gonna revisit a lot of them.
So let's talk about that for a quick second because I'm kind of curious. So if we have a book that's cozy, so we know this is low angst, low entry, not deep diving into much. I said we use these as palate cleansers, and they kind of do start to blur together. Is this a problem for this genre that these are books that are kind of easily forgettable?
I don't know that it's a problem for the genre because I think people are always going to be into that. I think there's a market for it that a lot of people just want to consume and are happy forgetting about it. And I think they do that with contemporary too. I don't think that's something that happens just in paranormal. A lot
No.
of the books that we talk about in the vibe that that are the vibes or that just don't have a ton going on. I think that there's always going to be a market for that. But I think when you're getting into these types of conversations like we're having here and they're having it in the chat too, it's like they don't gravitate towards them.
Yeah, Jen Ellen refers to them like Hallmark holiday
That's what I
movies.
was gonna say. It's
Yeah.
like the Hallmark movies of, yeah,
Yeah,
paranormal.
but like
Yeah.
the ones that I've recommended are all like authors where I've read other books by them.
Yeah.
I will read other books by them
Yeah.
because like there's some element of, I don't know, like maybe attachment to the story that I leave with when I'm done with the book. But a lot of them I'm just like, meh, you weren't even fine. You were maybe okay. Like Avery Flynn. I love Avery Flynn. Like she has really great books, but her paranormal witchy series, not for me. I didn't even read the second one. I didn't even finish the first one.
Yeah, I do left it.
There were a lot of weird parallels with other stories, and it was just like, this is,
Well, it
I
just,
don't know. I'm just like, and that's fine.
and I'm kind of mean to like the Laura Pavlov small towns because I don't feel that it gives me anything, right? Like there's nothing to
Yeah.
sink my teeth in, there's nothing to hold on to. And this leads to, I posted, I think it was last weekend, a Substack response to somebody that said why they were giving up reading romance. And it came down to the lack of yearning, the lack of agency in a lot of the current popular titles, that it feels that was their take on it, that right now romance isn't giving what romance was known for.
But romance is also marketing to a totally different audience of people. Like we've been reading romance a long time. The marketing that is occurring today, none of it is meant for me as a reader. Like it's very much tailored to like the people who are going to spend a ton of money on special editions, the people who are going to buy every version of a
I
paperback,
don't think it's
the
even
people.
geared for those people, Lindsay. I think it is geared for the new to the genre from 2020. This is
Yeah.
going to be the Gen Z, the older Gen Alpha, the ones that have never picked up a romance. They're reading, it's not that they weren't readers, but they probably read in grade school and middle school, and they have their Harry Potter house in their bio on Instagram, and Book Talk came along and they were engaging with authors, and as readers they found this whole, what do you mean there's sexy books about
Yeah.
magic? Or a lot, I think that a lot of the new to romance readers are ones that came over from fanfic, that they that was their
Oh,
that's the majority of
yeah,
their
that would make
reading.
sense.
It was
Yeah.
fanfics, and now people are saying, wait, you can have
We can
that.
make money off of those people.
Well, but you have publishing saying, yeah, we can make money off those fanfic authors, but you have those fandoms saying, wait, there are books out there that are full novels that aren't episodes that have sex in them and talk about different things, and maybe there's weird stuff and tentacles. And I think that those new to romance readers, the ones that just picked romance up in 2020, are who the book 5 years later, those are the books we're getting right now.
Yeah, and I think too, in playing into that, those are also the children who were growing up in COVID, and maybe just they don't want any more angst in their lives. You
Which
know what
is
I mean?
very fair. If we
That
look at
is
the
fair.
current if we look at the current political environment, it's a lot safer to read a queer monster, two orcs railing each other, than it is to turn on your evening news or to look at social media.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of factors involved. But yeah, I think those are big ones.
I think a lot of people became readers in that time frame too that hadn't been before, because like a lot of people don't want to leave their house anymore. Like we haven't come back from that, not the same. It's so a lot of people would just rather stay home and read.
Well, and it's really interesting because so for like Jenny and I, for our children, they are technology natives. They've never not known technology within their lives. The rest of us are technology immigrants. We had to learn to adapt to use the technology within our lives. But if you actually look at the stats of books that are selling, a lot of the new readers, so those young millennials, the Gen Zers, the Gen Alpha, like that 20 to 32 age range, 18 to 20, 32 age range, they don't want to read on a Kindle. They want paperbacks. Like, my child was like, hey, can I have a Kindle? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I was so excited. And then she'll be like, okay, but can I get the paperback of this? I'd rather read the paperback. And I'm like,
Too.
huh? That's
My
weird. But you can't
nephews
touch
are the
any of
same.
these. Don't touch
Eat
these. You have to get your
those.
own.
My nephews are the same, and they come in and they've got like these books that are just like torn to pieces and like whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, okay. Whatever
Stop.
makes you happy. Whatever makes you happy. But yeah.
In a perfect world, if I could afford to only read paperbacks, I would. But like, that's for people who are reading 30 books a year. Like,
Yeah,
and
no,
even then,
right.
it's like your
And
book
I
budget is
mean,
still like 35, $40 a month. And that's like, to me, like I get more bang out of my book budget if I use Kindle and the library and like audiobooks and things like that.
you're not
Like,
wrong.
I think it's just a totally different approach to reading.
It is. And, we have to learn to adapt. And I think we saw something similar. So, kind of like this cozy movement, this vibe movement that we're seeing right now. If we go back to 2010 and look as 50 Shades of Grey came on to the market, and how what was talked about and acceptable in books changed, right? Because previous to 50 Shades, the erotica would have been outliers. You wouldn't have seen them in your stores. Higher spice romances were not in your stores outside of the old bodice ripper authors. And up to 2010, we all knew about it, but you really had to go to the bookstore and know what you were looking for. On average, you wouldn't have found that kind of stuff. Then in 2010, you have this commercial market success of 50 Shades of Grey. And all of a sudden, we're talking about BDSM and romance. We're talking about power dynamic plays. And, all these authors are coming onto the market. I mean, there have always been indie authors, there just was more space starting in 2010 for them. And it changed the spice level and expectations in the book. And then, with 2016 and what happened in 2016, that squashed the spice level. And we saw that, right? Like we saw all those books that were being published 2018 to 2020, at least in the trad pub line, they had no spice. Like everything felt like it had been just washed and starched and there was nothing to it. And I think that the response to everything that we dealt with in 2020 and now again currently, everything is vibes, low angst, because the world around us is so high in angst or whatever we want to call it.
High in something.
And so I think this cozy movement, I think it's here to stay. But I think that it's going to lead to more of the conversations of why isn't there more yearning? Why aren't we seeing more stakes? You know,
I mean, and I think it's there. You just have to look for it, you know, like, yeah, it's not like, agree. I don't think it's not that, you know, that there aren't authors that are writing it. It's just, they're not the ones being marketed, which, well, you know.
Yeah, it goes back to the conversation I think a couple weeks ago we had, like, we're immersed in the book world.
Yep.
And like, other people don't know you can look on the internet to find books.
Well, and
like, they think books only live on shelves, you know, like,
that's the big thing too, is that like a lot of people now think like what's on the shelf at Walmart, Target, Barnes and Noble is the best of the best, and that's not the case. I will just shout to the moon that those are the books that sell well and have been marketed thoroughly and have large followings to make them profitable, but that doesn't mean they're all good.
No.
Like, they're fine. Like, they're fine. There's nothing wrong with any of the romance.
Well, but it's also then, you know, like,
exceptional.
We look at things like, so my mother probably reads 250 books a year. She does audiobooks. Mm-hmm. It's probably 250 books a year. And she really is not in one reader group on Facebook. She keeps a little list in a notebook of all the authors that she likes. And she'll...
With their red list.
Yes, with their... She has a red list.
Yeah. And then they're like, can you find me this book? And I'm like, I can't even read that.
I don't know what you're saying. Right, and my mom doesn't even go into the library very often. She did get her San Antonio library card, but she does it online because early on, 2010, we showed her how to put her audiobooks on an MP3 player, which she doesn't want to listen to them on her phone. She wants them on the MP3 player, which if that MP3 player dies, I don't know that we'll ever find her another one. Because the MP3 player doesn't connect to Wi-Fi, so the borrow never runs out.
Away.
She has to delete it. She has to go in and delete it. So if she doesn't get to the book right away, she's got time. So she'll stack a series. Like if she gets book 2, 6, and 8, and then she'll stack the series and wait to go and just binge listen to them all.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
But I feel like I yell that all the time to authors, like, readers are not engaged in online spaces. Your readers, that's why I say, you know, spend money on your Facebook ads, spend money on your Amazon ads, because they're not over on Instagram looking at that. They're still wishing Instagram was the 2012 Instagram of food pictures.
Yeah, it's never going to be.
Most people wish that.
If you
experienced it, I think you mostly wish that.
Yeah.
Stacy says her sister will not join Goodreads or Storygraph and has binders of her read lists in paper. My mother is not on Goodreads. Like I suggested, she go to Goodreads. She uses Fantastic Fiction to figure out exact order of books, but outside of that, she is not going to join Goodreads.
I don't have, like, I keep a journal of my books too. Like I don't digitize any of it. I need to. But like I have a bullet journal that I set up with a monthly list. Well, you can't see because my camera is terrible. But I keep like a journal with a monthly list. And then at one point I used to like write stars down for them and then like I draw a little icon whether or not I listened to it or eyeball read it. And then like what I did in the series and like you can tell when I'm in a comfort period because it's just like I'm reading binging whole series like
yeah
of books I've already read before, but yeah, I do mind that way too, just because like I use so much brain power when I'm on the computer all day at work. It just like having to use technology for anything outside of work is just mentally exhausting.
Yeah. Well, and Bonnie brings up if it wasn't for Amazon keeping track of borrows, I wouldn't have a clue what I've read or not.
Same.
Okay, listen though, I still download a book and start reading it and think, I read this before.
They're doing us dirty with these dang cover changes. Like, do you know how often I like go to download a book because I'm like, oh, that's a cute cover. This sounds like something I might like. And then I'm like, oh, I didn't actually need to do that because it said I read it here in 2022 or whatever. And it just has a new cover. And I don't remember because everything used to be people or whatever. And now it's all illustrated, which is fine.
Which I think goes into a little bit of this cozy, like you expect a cozy book
Yes.
to be illustrated,
Yep.
but now freaking everything is getting
Everything is
illustrated.
illustrated. Dark
Yep.
romance has got illustrations, like all the flowery dark romance covers. I'm just like, wow.
Yeah. The concept of cozy is really interesting to me, and I do think that this plays into some of our the vibe situation that we're kind of trying to figure out. And do I love everything I'm reading and everything new coming out? No, but I don't know that I would have loved everything that was coming out back 20 years ago either. Do I mean like you had your very specific authors that you like to read, and then if you were waiting for a new book, then you just recycled and reread what you loved, and you didn't always explore out. One, books were really stupid expensive, and you did what you could. You know what I mean?
Well, the other thing is authors aren't staying in their lane anymore. Like they're not just writing one consistent genre, like they're branching out and trying new things. And I think that's like part of what I've struggled with is like with the new TikTok era and the trends, like a lot of authors will adjust their writing style to be consistent with the trends. And it's not that they're writing books that are bad. It's right that the trends are no longer aligned with like my personal reading preferences. So you get like this experimentation, authors who've been doing this for a really long time and know how to follow the trends, and then you wind up getting books that aren't necessarily made for the readers. And that's where I struggle because like authors that I've loved, like I've really fallen away from them in their more recent releases. And then like just with how the trends are so different, and especially now, like fantasy is huge. Like, a lot of people who aren't like as tuned into romance as we are, like reading in Kindle Unlimited and like all that kind of thing. Like, a lot of them just read ro like a lot of people just read fantasy romance now.
They do. There is a lot of newer to the idea of a romance that's fantasy romance. And I think we could do a whole nother episode on reader expectations of romance. And I think that I've tried really hard to stay out of like the monthly discourse that we kind of cycle around. And like right now it's first versus third, like discourse, people saying that third is superior, they won't read in first, or people saying I can only read in first. I try to stay out of it, but I think one of the things that this makes us do though is as the host of this podcast, and I'll say this again, it's kind of why I will track my DNFs, right? We are building a community of romance readers, and most of us are all similar. There are some out there that are reading for vibes. But I think that that's why we have to keep picking up the new releases or checking the trendy books. And I don't mind a trend, but I also, I told a romance author recently, I said, lean into the camp. Think about the B movies of the 70s as the economy of the 70s was falling apart. Everybody was watching those campy B movies. Lean into that because it's ridiculous and it's fun and it's better than what I have right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, so take your cues, but I also think that one of the things I have no problem with authors writing to trend. as long as it still brings them fulfillment and joy. And there are several books I pick up a week that I feel like they were forced to write to a specific trend and they were not excited about what they were writing in that moment. So, does anyone have anything else they want to say about this before we go on to?
Yeah, you were talking about the 70s, and I was like, is that where Rocky Horror Picture Show came from?
Yes.
And then
Yeah.
I looked it up and I just realized we missed Rocky Horror's 50th birthday. It was just September 26th.
It was. And actually, so when I was in college in Bowling Green, there was an old movie theater downtown Bowling Green that had the midnight showing every Friday and Saturday of Rocky Horror. And you could bring in your paper bag of toast and toilet paper. So you could throw your rice and your toast and stuff. Sing along. I love that movie.
The underwear run.
Yeah. It's fantastic. It's a classic. Okay. So I was sitting here thinking, like, when we started on, and everyone's like, I don't really have any book recs. I was like, this is going to be a really short episode. Look at us. It is not, because we talked about other things. Okay. So guess what time it is, you guys?
It's that time.
It's that time for Book of
Oh,
the
the
Week. Book of the
week.
Week. Jenny, what's your book of the week?
Reproduction by Penny Reed. It is the second book in Fundamentals of Biology. It's a trilogy. Definitely has to be read in order, but she's releasing them like October, November, or September, October, November. The next one comes out next month. Yeah.
Is it just Penny Reed
He's a villain.
magic? He's a villain.
Well, she didn't plot this series, so she just kind of like ran with it, and there was definitely like a big twist at the end of this book. So we'll see how she fixes it.
Okay. Like,
I don't know.
concerned? I
Well,
am
like,
all three are out.
did you, Lindsay, did you love Martin?
I did.
Okay, so yeah.
100% a villain, but yeah, he.
Okay. So yeah, you will love this series. Like, he has got himself in a big hole.
Okay. When do her the next set of the paperbacks of the Winston brothers come out then?
To be determined, because they didn't think the beards were selling and then
Oh.
decided that they were.
Oh.
They held the cover on the third
Yeah.
book. Apparently, they held the cover on the
Yeah.
third book because they wanted to see how the first two did before they made a design change. And then they agreed with Penny. I'm sorry, but like, if you're going to start releasing a book series and you change the covers in between, like, your reader base is going to freaking mutiny.
They are, but I'm telling you, 20 years ago, they wouldn't have. Because if we look at our series, how many of
Right.
our series have,
Yeah.
you know, if I look at,
But we had nowhere to complain
Yeah,
besides.
right. I mean,
This
if we look at Julie Garwood's Heartbreak, her Buchanan family series,
God, how many times did they change?
the
Ugh.
covers keep changing
Yeah.
even now. So, yeah, like, okay. Penny Reed's newest release. Shocking that that's Jenny's book of the week. Amanda, what's your book of the week?
Okay, so my book of the week is not romance. It is Cold Wire by Chloe Gong. It actually releases on November 4th. It is a YA book. It is very dystopian. It's like cyberpunk. I did not know what to expect going into this one because it's a little science fiction-y, and that's not always my like preferred genre, but this is one of the best things I've ever read. Period. Like not just this year. It's told through dual point of views, two female main characters, and you're kind of like waiting to see how their storylines are going to converge. And when they finally do, it's just like it just it, I kind of saw it coming, but the way they did it, it just like broke my brain. Like I finished this book and I was just like sitting there staring at the wall, like not knowing what to do. It's very like thought-provoking. It goes into the fact that this world has pretty much like killed itself environmentally, and their bodies stay in this world, but they've all created virtual worlds where they go, like they're in pods. It's very kind of Matrix. Which
Interesting.
again is not typically like my thing, but this it's so good. If you've got any young kids that are kind of like in the, upper teen range, like highly recommend.
Okay.
So.
It's probably a perfect book for Gunkle David, so I might have to get him a
Oh,
copy.
it's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lindsay, what's your book of the week?
I am gonna do another one that's for a sip and discuss. But I had to finish my Zom rom-com by Olivia Dade this week because of library holds. I think this might be my favorite read of the whole year so far.
Okay.
My favorite new read, I would say. Like I've reread some stuff. I haven't really enjoyed a lot of what I mean, I've enjoyed reading this year, but I haven't like really loved anything. And this book really surprised me. Like the banter between Max and I keep forgetting her name, but what like, my memory is so bad lately. But like their banter is so cute, and then like the scene where like she saves him essentially, like
Okay.
it's very, I really,
I really enjoyed it and I'm excited we're going to talk about it in a couple weeks, so.
yeah, me too. Be fun.
Okay, my book of the week is Tempt by Adriana Locke. It's book one in the Peachwood Falls. It's small town. Everyone knows your secrets. A guarded single dad meets the one woman he can't resist, no matter how hard he tries to play it safe. Childhood crush, grumpy sunshine, small dad, small town, single dad. I really liked it. I really liked it. I like Adriana Locke's books for the most part. They're usually pretty consistent. And I just haven't read her in a while, so I picked up her small town and I was pretty impressed, and I probably would continue on with this series.
It looks really good. I've been looking at it.
Yeah. Lots of found family vibes in the small town, which I kind of was appreciating. So, okay. Make sure you are back here Wednesday for our discussion of Fan Service by Rosie Darnan. I'm super excited to talk about this book. Are you on Wednesday's episode, Amanda?
Yes.
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 Okay. I now know things about Amanda after having read this book. Like I feel
That
like
you didn't know before,
I feel like I got to peek inside your brain a little bit, why you might be slightly obsessed with this book.
okay,
Like I kind of think I get it a little better, because there's so much in this book. Have you listened to it yet, Jenny?
have not. That's my weekly thing, yeah.
It's a good read. I'm just saying, and the audiobook, phenomenal.
Oh, the audiobook is on sale at Chirp for $5.99. There's a link in Discord if anybody doesn't already have it.
Perfect. And the ebook was on sale a couple weeks ago for
Yeah.
$1.99. So
Yeah, I had put them both in there,
it's
so
like Berkeley knew we were having it as an
worked out.
episode. Nice. For a list of books we talked about this weekend, please visit our on the shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. You can find a current list of our upcoming Wednesday episodes over on our website. We did announce our November lineup. And don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts. If you love this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Share it with your friends. Your support helps us bring you more exciting content each and every week. Thank you for coming on and talking about Cozy and listening to us complain about the current book world, I guess. Until next time, everyone, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.